It's the Ross Tucker Football Podcast.
Oh, yeah, it is. But it's not just any Ross Tucker Football Podcast. It is a teaching tutorial Thursday, but a little change up. We had Greg Cosell yesterday on a Wednesday, Andrew Brandt today, and we are presented by betonline.ag. I demand an investigation. Has anybody gone to podcast1sportsnet.com to see the Podcast One Sportsnet Challenge to identify whether or not I really, at this point, have not gone ahead and won that? As soon as I win, I get $500 to put in your accounts, or at least they put $500 in your accounts for me. So make sure you go to betonline.ag and use the promo code PODCAST1. That's like mandatory. And then you can send me the account number when I do win, and they'll just deposit $100 in your account, which basically is what the Even Money podcast is like with the money I keep depositing in your account. If you're just tracking my bets up 20 units, you are a winner. Again, betonline.ag, promo code PODCAST1. Speaking of winners, by the way, we've got more winners today. We're doing it today. Every once in a while, I like to throw you guys some curveballs. We did a curveball with switching Andrew and Greg. A little curveball because Brian's in New York for the ALCS with doing Even Money on Tuesday and Fantasy Feast Wednesday, Thursday. How about one more curveball this week? I'm going to give you the winners today. The Spread the Word winner is George Shaw. He Facebook commented on yesterday's Greg Cosell Ross Tucker Football Podcast. That counts at Ross Tucker NFL. Twitter and Instagram. Facebook is facebook.com/RossTuckerNFL. Make sure you're following me so that when I post the press box video this weekend from UCF from Florida and the crew meal video, I want you guys to be able to enjoy at Ross Tucker NFL, Twitter and Instagram. And then sponsor confirmation email winner, the second to last Madden, goes to Ben Mullins, who not only rated and reviewed every show last week, then he took advantage of one of our new sponsors this week, and he has a 9-year-old son that's not that into football, but he is into video games. So he's hoping Madden helps the two of them connect. I can respect that, Ben. I like it. So you have gotten Madden number 5. I've got one more Madden to go, and I will tell you tomorrow on a Finish Strong Friday exactly how you can win the final Madden. Other than that, it's Big Show time.
The Big Show.
He is the host of the critically acclaimed Business of Sports podcast, which is fantastic, and he joins us every week here on the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, usually on a Wednesday, but we threw a little change-up at you this week, and he's joining us on a Thursday. Andrew, before we get into the Ramsey trade and all the different L.A. stuff, because there's a lot there, I saw on Twitter you're going back to your old stomping grounds this weekend?
Yeah, Ross, annual pilgrimage back to Lambeau. Worked out well because Marquette University asked me to speak tomorrow on Friday, and my boys are coming out Saturday and Lambeau on Sunday, so it'll be a nice weekend back in my old stomping ground. So people listening back in Milwaukee and Green Bay, I'll be out there. Look for me.
That is cool to have you for a speaking engagement, and really it's awesome that you can tie in, you know, taking your boys to a Packers game with little business speaking engagement. That's awesome.
Yeah, and no, we can start right there because I said this on Twitter. I'm honest. I mean, I am completely biased as a Packers fan. Watch every game with that in mind and tweet with that in mind. But I feel for Lions fans. That was a tough one the other night. And, yes, the Lions had a lot they could have done to win that game. I mean, I think like a dozen times they could have put that game away and didn't. But the refs helped, and I think we all have to be honest about that. The refs determined that outcome for the Packers in part, some would say in large part. And that's a problem. And what I thought, Ross, was maybe the momentum of that, just like momentum of the Saints non-call, would lead to some kind of change at the league meetings this week. And it looks like it didn't. It looks like there's kind of this resignation that these things will even out. And the reason they're not reviewing PI calls is because of where they said, they're kind of pointing the finger at us, saying we said only extremely egregious. And but we're watching these calls, and they look egregious to me, but they're still not overruling them. So we're nowhere on this PI stuff, as you've noted as well.
Thought the most concerning thing of all, Andrew, was the quote from Jerry Jones, where he effectively said, you know what, everybody's talking about it. That's a good thing. He's like, we're all still talking about it the next day. Nothing wrong with that. That was like a red flag for me.
Yeah, I mean, I think what you just read and talked about is what the – I don't even know if it's dirty. It's not dirty. It's the secret behind success of companies like the NFL. Like, you're talking about us, you know? And you know, this was 2014, 15, 16 was Ray Rice, Tom Brady, and I heard the same thing behind closed doors. You know, they're talking about us in the off season. So, yeah, I mean, this is, of course we're talking about it. But then you saw the quote from Commissioner Goodell, like, it's not a good thing when they're talking about the game and they're talking about referees. Well, yeah, that's happening. So those two comments are in conflict. But we are definitely talking about the refereeing every week. And I get people coming to me after Monday night, like, Brent, you only care about the Packers and a nationally televised game. This is happening every week. And you're right. I don't see enough of a sample to know that. But I'm shaking my head at that Packers game as a Packers fan.
Right. The other thing that I don't know if it's noteworthy or not that came out of the owners' meetings and what Roger Goodell had to say was the fact that, you know, he confirmed that they are pushing for 17 games, although yeah. I also saw reports where some of the old school owners, and I think Art Rooney is among them, aren't really as keen on 17 games. And it is weird when you think about how many guys are injured already and missing games to add more to it. What did you think of what Goodell said there?
Well, on the one hand, I thought, like, he's given up some leverage, you know, because maybe I think, like a lot of NFL owners think, which is everything is a leverage game when you say public comments about the biggest negotiation of all coming up. In other words, you start at 18 and you end at 17 while the players start at 16 and say no way, no way, no way till the end and end up at 17. But it sounds like they've gone there already. So now it's only a question of whether they end up at 16 or 17, not whether they end up at 18. And I think that hasn't gotten enough attention. So basically, we're done with 18 games, which has been an issue in the last CBA negotiation and an issue all the way until, I guess, today. So that was my big surprise. Whether owners are on board with that or not, you know, I'll go back to my premise about this negotiation. What do the players have to offer beyond an extra game? And I think part of that, I should say, I think is also an extra playoff game that Goodell didn't mention. So I think it has to be part of this next CBA because players are negotiating from a position of not of strength. And I still haven't heard people come up with something. And if the answer is, well, they'll strike, well, good luck with that. So I think that's where we are.
Well, I think I mentioned this to you before, Andrew, but it appears as if the NFL is really the one pushing to try to get this done because by the end of the year because they want to negotiate the next round of TV contracts. So isn't the players' leverage, if they have any, isn't it the willingness to do the deal now and to do the deal on the NFL's timeline, even though the NFLPA doesn't have to do it. They still have another year on the agreement.
I see that. You know, I recognize that. But we don't know if those public comments... I guess we believe the public comments from the NFL that they want to get it done. We don't know if the NFLPA wants to sit back and use that as leverage, or rather have it done as well. So we'll see. And I will say this. There's so much positivity relative to 8 years ago. And, you know, yeah, we've heard some of the stuff from the NFLPA about war chests and getting prepared and saving your money and saving your Madden check, etc. But, you know, again, it comes down to it's never over till it's over. They've been negotiating, but my sense, Ross, is they don't get to the key issue because that's too hard. And, of course, the key issue for everyone trying to divert us from the key issue, it's money. And I'll say it again, the revenue split went from about 50-50 to about 53-47 in favor of the owners. Can the players get back a point? Can they get back 2 points? I don't think they can get back to 50-50. So I think that's the crux of the issue.
There's a lot to talk about, Andrew, as it relates to Los Angeles. And in particular, let's start with the big move, the big trade this week. The Rams trading 2 ones and a 4 for Jalen Ramsey. What was your initial reaction to that news?
My initial reaction was, good job, Jacksonville. And I'm going to go where no one's gone with this. 10 years ago, the Cincinnati Bengals traded a player that was never going to play for them to the Raiders for a 1 and a 3 named Carson Palmer. And we are still lambasting the Raiders for that trade. Today, the Rams trade for a player, 2 ones and a 4, for a player that I don't think was ever going to play for the Jaguars. So my first reaction is, great job, Jaguars. Great job. Because, yeah, he may have played for them, but do we really think that would have been full go? Do we really think there wouldn't have been more mysterious injuries? Do we really think he would have been a leader in the locker room? Do we really think he would have been all in on the offseason program? No. So forget about how great he is and people saying it's like Khalil Mack, the team that gets the best player wins no matter how many draft picks. No, I just think this is a win for Jacksonville because they remove a hold-in. I talked to you about a hold-in's worse than a hold-out. And I don't think he was going to play for them. I really don't. So they get 2 number ones and change for a player that's going to play. So my first thought was Carson Palmer. He was never going to play for Cincinnati. He had retired, basically. So here we are again. I'll start with that. And maybe you have other questions. You're the one to evaluate the player and how good or great he is. But that was my reaction.
Yeah, from the hold-in part of it, Andrew, does this now become a template whereby players can still get their money and not get fined, but say they have a back injury? You know, I've long said, Andrew, that you know, you'd have to have a particular type of person to be willing to do it, but that this is, from a business standpoint, the best way to go about it. They can't fine you. You get all your money, and, you know, you're causing more disruption because you're actually there.
Yeah.
And they have no leverage because they don't have anything to hold over you. I mean, I'm surprised more agents haven't had their players do what Jalen Ramsey just did.
And Jadeveon Clowney in a different way, and Khalil Mack, and Aaron Donald. And I continue to go to this line. You and I talked at the beginning of the season when players had done this. You better be special. I mean, we got the Melvin Gordon example out there now. I mean, you better be special, like elite. And how many players are elite? 15, 20, 25, maybe out of 1,800? So maybe that's an obvious statement, Ross. But my answer is, yeah, you can do this, but you better be elite, because the key to getting the two ones, the Rams aren't stupid. You know, I know Kevin Demoff very well. He's a very shrewd guy. I don't know Les Snead, but yeah, they're not a stupid organization. So what happened was they had leverage with, you name it. The rumors are the Saints, the Ravens, the Eagles, others. And they had, you know, the Rams had to go with where they went because he's elite. He is elite. So can you do this? Yeah. Can teams come out of this looking well, like the Jaguars? Yeah. So that's kind of a win-win. You get to someone near elite, or some would say just good, like Melvin Gordon. A, he can't get his new contract. B, the team can't get good value out of a trade. So that's kind of a lose-lose for both. So I guess the obvious answer is sure. You can now do this if you're top 15 in the league.
You know, I'm surprised, because I think Kevin Demoff is very smart. I'm surprised that they got this deal, that they did this without having him signed to a long-term deal. And I'm wondering if there's some type of understanding or something here.
Yeah, I mean, this is what I raised, and people like me on Twitter right away, like Joe Banner, like, if they didn't get a deal done, they lost all the leverage, because now you go into negotiation, hey, you gave up two ones and a four. No one's done that since whoever. You know, it's a quarterback. So pay me quarterback money. And we'll see where that goes. You do wonder that. We had this conversation about Sam Bradford when the Eagles got in. We had this conversation last month when the Texans traded two ones for Tunsil. As far as we know, there's no negotiations going on there. And let's now revise, I guess, our ridicule of the Texans, because we did that about two ones. We don't seem, and we being the collective media fans, don't seem to be doing that to the Rams, that the Texans were bumbling, fumbling, and the Rams are not. You know, I think we have to be fair about these moves. We can criticize the Rams just like the Texans. That doesn't seem to be happening. Or we can say the Texans, you know, did what they did just like the Rams. So I just think we have to note that there should be equal treatment for the front offices of Houston and L.A. here.
I think that's fair. My question is, how much do you think the Rams making this move, Andrew, is strictly football versus trying to keep some momentum after last year's Super Bowl and bringing in star power and buzz and staying in the conversation as they move into a new building next year and everything that goes with that, with the luxury boxes and club seats and all that stuff?
Yeah, I agree with that. But now we're on the other side of the Dolphins here. So, and this is what I wrote about for Sports Illustrated last week, is are you better off, you know, being the Dolphins, or are you better off in mediocrity with a bloated payroll? That's what could happen here. So right now they're a mediocre team, and they've got two teams ahead of them in the division. That better change, because what they've done is they've limited their margin for error big time. And, you know, I mean, we can all debate the Jared Goff deal. I think they would lose the debate now on the Todd Gurley deal. He's become a part-time player. So they've got some bloated contracts there. They've got older players like Clay Matthews, Eric Weddle, still productive, but will they be? And we'll see where this goes. But they've rewarded Goff, they've rewarded Gurley, they've rewarded Cooks with top-of-market deals. And they have no draft picks ahead at the top. So they're in a win-now mode, and if you're in a win-now mode, that's great, but you better win. And Right now, this is not about the new stadium. This is about this year, and I just think they're in a tough way. If they become a mediocre team with that payroll and no draft picks, no one wants to be there.
I think it's going to be very interesting. And I got to tell you, Andrew, just to button this, watching more than half the stadium be Niners fans for the Rams-Niners, and then had to be close to 80% of the stadium be Steelers fans for Steelers-Chargers. I really think that this is one of the biggest business disasters I've seen, although maybe you can make the opposite argument that it's a great place for all these transplant people to come see their team, all these people to move out to L.A. to come see their team. But I think we're looking at some half-full stadiums when the Chargers play in that new stadium.
You listen, I've been asked about this a lot this week. I just think that there are a lot of NFL fans in L.A., but there aren't a lot of L.A. NFL fans. Rams and Chargers fans, because they've ignored the fan base for 25 years. So what do you think? You know, the Rams is a bigger issue to me if that's going to continue, because as you said, they're a shiny team with the fast-paced offense, stars, etc., now a bigger star. The Chargers, listen, I don't have a lot of reaction to the Chargers fan base, because 10 years ago, I was with the Packers, and we went to play at Jack Murphy Stadium in San Diego, and it was like Lambeau Field. This is not new. This is not new. Now, the fact they're in a soccer stadium accentuates it. But the Steelers overtaken the stadium? Of course. And guess who's the next two teams' home games for the Chargers? Bears, Packers. It will be completely those fans. Absolutely. I have no doubt. And that's nothing against the Chargers. But if you're a Bears, Packers, or Steelers fan, and you make a pilgrimage every year, you're going to go there. And next year, maybe you go to Vegas. But you're going there. And that's where they're going. And it's going to continue. These next two games by the Chargers, Bears, Packers, are you kidding me? It's going to be exactly like the Steelers game.
Andrew, always appreciate the time and always encourage people to go ahead and check out the Business of Sports podcast. And if you're up near Marquette, go hear Andrew speak this weekend. Thanks, Andrew.
Thanks, Ross.
Love talking with my guy, Andrew Brandt. So precise, and I don't know if measured's the right word, but you can just tell he puts a lot of thought into what he's saying. Kind of reminds me of Manscaped. These guys put a lot of thought into their precision engineered tools for your family jewels. I love that. I love little things that rhyme like that almost as much as I love Manscaped. They have redesigned the electric trimmer. The Lawnmower 2.0 has proprietary skin-safe technology, so this trimmer won't nick or snag your you-know-whats, which also rhymes with nuts. Get it, Bri? At any point, here's the point, right? I used to just take like these mini scissors and try to trim that way, and had a couple of incidents that were not real good at all for multiple reasons. Then I found out about Manscaped. Game changer. Manscaped is the only way for manscaping. Here's the deal. You can get 20% off and free shipping with the code Tucker at manscaped.com. So whether you want the Lawnmower 2.0 with the skin-safe technology, or you want the Crop Preserver, which is anti-chafing ball deodorant and moisturizer, you can get it all and get it for 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com, but you got to use the code Tucker. Again, 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Use the code Tucker.
Tuck's Takes.
Let's start, Ross, with some very different
Raiders news today. On one hand, offensive tackle Trent Brown has been accused of domestic assault. And on the other hand, the team signed tight end Darren Waller to a contract extension worth $9 million per year.
I don't know that I have that much to say about either one of those. I mean, you know, for Trent Brown, the NFL has issued a statement that they're aware of it. They're going to look into it. Anytime there's any allegation like this, it needs to be taken very, very seriously. I think an argument could be made that the player should immediately go on the, you know, on the report, on the list for the commissioner's exempt list. The issue with that is that, you know, then it's almost like, and I don't think anybody would do this, but you never know. What if you're just like a, I don't know, let's just say you're a Broncos fan and you don't want, you know, the star player of the other team to play. Could you accuse him of something horrible like this? I mean, that's why they can't just put him on the commissioner's exempt list. They have to at least make sure there is some real substance to it or evidence before they would make a move like that. I think that's fair. I think that makes sense. As for Darren Waller, if you're not aware of his story, it's a terrific, terrific story. And I am thrilled for him, absolutely thrilled for him that he got this contract extension. Man, he had a rough go of it to get to this point, and now he got life-altering money. And I think you guys know, I want as many people as possible that play this unforgiving game to get life-altering money. So good for him.
Ducks takes.
In quarterback news, the Dolphins are going back to Ryan Fitzpatrick as their starter, and former Dolphins quarterback Brock Osweiler retiring after 7 years in the NFL.
Saw a stat where he started like 30 games, was 15-15, won a Super Bowl, obviously, in Denver, you know, made, I think, $41 million, and he retires before the age of 30. Wow, man. I mean, that's a good life right there. That's a really, really good life that he's going to be able to live now. Done, moving on. He seems to me like a guy that would just have an awesome time hanging out like on the beach or surfing or whatever. Good for him. As for, I'm a little bit jealous, but good for him. Because I played 7 years and I didn't even make $4 million, but that's okay. I'm thrilled with what I did make and realize how fortunate I am and blessed and all that. As for Ryan Fitzpatrick, I don't really understand this other than the Dolphins really don't want to go winless, maybe, and they're trying to get a win. But how does it help you if you get a win and, like, the Bengals never do and you don't get the number one pick and you're doing all this tanking stuff and you don't get a chance to pick the guy you want? That doesn't seem to make that much sense to me.
Ducks takes.
And other news includes the Rams putting safety John Johnson on IR, the Packers signing veteran wide receiver Ryan Grant, Saints signing running back Zach Zenner, and Browns defensive end Myles Garrett getting punched in the face by a fan? What?
Evidently, Myles Garrett tweeted that a fan recognized him, came over to the car to ask him to sign something or take a picture with him or something. So Myles Garrett, he was in downtown Cleveland, rolled down his window, put his window down. I don't know if he signed an autograph for the guy or if he took a picture for him, but then he says the guy punched him. I mean, there are people that got videos of it. They have his license plate. That'd be a weird thing for Myles Garrett to just make up, right? So you'd think that there's at least some truth to it. It's very, very bizarre. Very bizarre. And actually, we could do a whole show with my ideas for what they could do with that guy. How about put him at offensive tackle and he has to try to block Myles Garrett? How about a little Oklahoma drill? A little bull in the ring? Let him be a Brown for a day. Oh, man, that would be funny. That would really, really be funny. Not much to say about the other stuff other than Packers having issues health-wise at wide receiver, so they signed a guy. Saints having issues health-wise at running back with Kamara, so they signed Zenner. All that stuff makes sense. I will say, Bri, another good Thursday night game tonight that I'm really, really looking forward to. It's the Broncos, and it is the Kansas City Chiefs. The Broncos are hosting the Chiefs, and as I said on the Even Money podcast, I really like the Broncos with the points. Speaking of punching you in the face, I mean, the Broncos are going to very much be very physical. They're going to try to run the ball down the throat of the Denver Broncos, kind of like the Colts and the Texans did. That's number one. Number two, they're also going to have play great defense, which they've been playing lately. So I think the Broncos have a great chance to win the game tonight. I'm going to say that the Chiefs find a way to pull this one out. I just don't see them losing three games in a row, but it's absolutely something to keep an eye on. That's for sure. We could take a poll as to who you think is going to win. I'll go Chiefs 20, Broncos 17. But as I said on Even Money, I like the Broncos with the points. I also like this Poll Sports, the online site that allows you to get instant fantasy football advice. It's basically like through real-time polls. It's like it's almost like crowdsourcing. It's really cool. If you haven't seen it or heard of it, check out pollsports.com to set up your free account and get instant advice today. But basically, you can put a poll out there like, who should be my running back this week? Leonard Fournette or Marlon Mack or whatever, right? Whatever it is. And then fantasy players that, you know, are really into it and playing a bunch of leagues, they'll vote on it, and it's fun for them, and they'll give you their advice, and then boom, you can go ahead and potentially see right away whether or not, you know, the way you were leaning is what other people think. Might still be 50-50, but it might be, you know, might be very strong in one way or the other, and just help you make your decision. And it's completely free to use. There's no paywalls of any kind. So head to pollsports.com to set up your free account and get instant advice today. Speaking of instant, Bri, there are instant bets on the Even Money podcast. Instant fantasy advice. Both Fantasy Feast podcasts have now posted. And I guess that's it. Get ready for college Saturday with the College Draft Podcast. The I Think We're Done Here shout out goes to White Label Group. Those guys have figured it out. They're getting shout outs every day for being in the $100 category at patreon.com/RTMedia. That's it. I think we are done here, Bri.
Thanks for listening to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. Make sure to also subscribe to the Fantasy Feast, Even Money, Business of Sports, and College Draft. All available at Apple Podcasts, RossTucker.com, or wherever podcasts can be found.